All right, it is all coming back, people. Mason, the smart one, along with Ireland, getting ready for actual real-life sporting events. The MLS's back tournament is just 5 days away from LAFC versus Houston. LAFC will be back in action. The tournament is actually, I think, going on tonight. And then 11 days until the Dodgers play their first exhibition game against Arizona at Dodgers Stadium. Only 15 days. Just a little over 2 weeks until opening day for the Dodgers versus the Giants at Dodger Stadium. And the NBA is back. Lakers versus Clippers, 22 days away. Tomorrow, the Lakers will board a plane and fly off to the bubble. The bubble. We've heard so much about it. Now we get to see exactly how it works. Now, a little bit earlier, we played this clip from Adam Silver, and I think it's worth playing again. This is Adam Silver on his concerns about going into the bubble.
So we won't be surprised when they first come down to Orlando if we have some additional players to test positive. What would be most concerning is once players enter this campus and then go through our quarantine period, then if they were to test positive or we were to have any positive tests, we would know we would have an issue. And so in terms of our level of confidence, again, when we set down this path in terms of coming back in Orlando, Florida was not experiencing case levels at the rate they are now, and Orange County, where Orlando is, was not. But on the other hand, we designed this campus environment so that we could be as protected as possible from the environment around us. So on paper and dealing with our experts, this should work, but we shall see. I'm confident based on the positive cases we're seeing from our players and the general public around the country that it will be safer on this campus than off this campus, in part because we're going to be doing daily testing. And incidentally, when our players are not playing, which is the vast majority of the time they're there, they will be observing physical distancing and wearing masks. So it's a very protected environment. But again, this virus has humbled many. And so I'm not going to express any higher level of confidence than we're following the protocols, and we hope it works as we designed it.
All right, so there's something about this that I think is really fascinating, because you talk about all the time the importance of the integrity of the bubble.
Sanctity of the bubble.
Sanctity of the bubble, that if anybody goes out and tries to pick up girls or goes to a restaurant, that
has a chance to screw the whole thing up.
That was what Adam Silver was referring to when he said, okay, if we get everybody in there, and we test everybody, and they all test negative, and then we quarantine them, and they all follow the rules, we know everybody inside there is negative.
Yep.
If there were to be a rat, now, if one or two people test positive, that, you know, okay, we're prepared for that. But if there were a rash of positive tests, like a whole bunch of people tested positive, then he would know he has a hole in the bubble. So doesn't A equal B? If there's a rash of positive tests 2 weeks into this thing,
yeah, it means people left the bubble.
Don't we know somebody flew the coop?
Yeah, we know. Somebody. And by the way, the guys that I'm most concerned about are the guys that are on the teams that are on the fringes. You know, those guys who don't have a lot at stake, they're not going to play for a championship. They may not even play in the postseason, you know, like just naming teams, Washington in the West, Sacramento. You know,
Phoenix. Wait a minute, you're giving up on your Kings?
Yeah, I don't think they're getting there. I think Memphis is going to win that slot. But, I mean, in the end, the higher leverage, like, for example, I would think that the Lakers, this team, with such great relationships and such chemistry, they've talked about this. And they've said, look, no matter who you are on this roster, you cannot leave this bubble. Because if you leave this bubble and you bring COVID back to our team, you have technically and maybe realistically taken away our chance at a championship. If LeBron gets sick, if AD gets sick,
right.
That's why I think the Lakers, the Bucks, the Clippers, any team that thinks they've got a chance to win it all, I think they are going to be ultra, ultra careful about maintaining the sanctity of the bubble. Now, that doesn't mean that when the Lakers play, I don't know, just name a team, Orlando, in a scrimmage next week or in 2 weeks, If somebody from the Magic has left the bubble, it's totally possible that he could infect somebody one of the Lakers at that scrimmage. By the way, I wanted to ask you about those scrimmages. So the Lakers' first scrimmage is against Dallas on Thursday the 23rd at 7 p.m. Now, are those going to air somewhere?
I don't know the answer to that. I have not been told that we're doing them. I don't know if Spectrum Sportsnet is doing them. Now, you're noticing with baseball, they're televising inter-squad games.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're allowing cameras in for those scrimmages. You know what I mean?
Right. Because right now, the Lakers are scheduled to scrimmage Dallas on the 23rd.
Which would be worth watching. That's Luka, LeBron.
Orlando on the 25th. And Washington on the 27th. Leading up to opening day, or the start of the season, which will be July the 30th.
Now, what I've been told, and I'm not always the first to know, but what I've been told is that our first game is going to be Lakers-Clippers on the 29th. But they could get a call tomorrow saying, hey, we're doing the scrimmages. Get ready.
Right. Because there's an appetite.
I know. Yeah, I'd love to do them.
Yeah, I mean, there's an appetite for, I mean, even if it's, you know, NBA TV is doing them, showing those scrimmages maybe. But there are four scrimmages a day. There's one day, Saturday the 25th, there are six scrimmages going on. 12 o'clock, 12:30, 4, 4:30, 8, 8:30 Eastern time. So they are loaded up with these scrimmages, and I would think that's good content. I mean, I want to watch the Lakers sort of tune it up against Orlando or against Washington, or a great game against Dallas, potentially great game. So I would think that those scrimmages would be great programming for somebody. I was just curious if you knew if we were going to carry those scrimmages, call those scrimmages, anything.
I haven't been told that, but that doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right. I think that it's all happening at once. I want to get to the baseball thing. We didn't really flesh this out very much. Mike Trout, we talked to Buster Olney today, and it sounds like the most recent sound we have from Mike Trout. Do you have that there, Funch?
Yeah, I do.
The most recent sound from Mike Trout makes it seem uncertain that he's going to play.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. You know, obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season. You know, I've told Billy, I've told a bunch of the guys, you know, it's gonna be tough. I gotta be really cautious these next few weeks. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, obviously I don't want to test positive and I don't want to bring it back to my wife. You know, we've thought hard about all this, you know, still thinking about all this. It's a tough time, tough situation we're in, everybody's in. And, you know, everybody's got a responsibility in this clubhouse to, you know, social distance, stay inside, wear a mask and, you know, keep everybody safe.
Yeah. I mean,
he doesn't sound like he's playing.
He does not sound like he's playing. And David Price obviously opted out. And he's got a family issue. And in the NBA, we've seen multiple players, whether it's Davis Bertans from Washington or Trevor Ariza up in Portland or Avery Bradley for the Lakers, multiple people have opted out. And I have gotten an undercurrent on my Twitter timeline of criticism of those guys. And I won't say which player has triggered the most criticism, but one has triggered the most criticism.
Why won't you say which one? Yeah.
I guess there's no reason why not. David Price.
Yeah, you're not criticizing him, right? It's just that's the reaction?
No, on Twitter, David Price, I've gotten negative tweets about David Price. And I don't know, what is his family situation? I know he's not playing because of his family.
Are you sure?
I mean, it is his family is the reason that he's not playing.
Why do you say that?
because I think I heard it somewhere.
I have not heard that. I don't know. It could very well be true. I think, you know, he's made $200 million. He's been in the league for 12, 13 years. He doesn't want to put his health at risk. I would be an incredible hypocrite if I, you know, because I've been beating the drum saying that if Avery Bradley opted out, and he did, and if Dwight Howard opted out and he decided not to, I would have no issue with it.
Yeah, Price opted out. He says it's in the best interest of my health and my family's health.
I don't understand why people would be more critical of him than others, because he's the one player that, remember, he gave like $1,000 to every single minor leaguer in the Dodgers system out of his own pocket. And now he's not making any salary this year. So I think that's stupid to criticize him, especially.
Well, I think people hear Mike Trout and they say, oh, no, I get it. He's got his wife is pregnant. It's their first child. He doesn't want to bring it home to his pregnant wife or bring it home to his infant child after the birth. That's more understandable than just generally. Like, for example, and I know Washington has no chance to get into the postseason.
Right.
They're 5.5 out with 8 games.
You're
to
talking
play.
About the Wizards in the NBA.
The Wizards, yeah. Right. Davis Bertans, I think that's a weak move.
Well, he's a free agent, so it looks suspect. But
he's not doing it because of he's talked about it. I tore my ACL a couple of times. I want to preserve my free agency. See, to me, that's not a reason. It's not I'm doing this for my health. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this because I've got a pre-existing condition. His pre-existing condition is he's going to be a free agent after this season.
And by the way, with David Price, it looks like he has at least 2 very young kids, one that was born in September 2019, and then one that's about 3 years old.
Okay. Right.
I have no issue with anybody taking it off. I mean, this virus is a real deal. I mean, Mace, you and I are good examples of this. You've been, I think, what most people would say is overly cautious, and I've probably been not cautious enough.
Yeah.
But it's in each individual person's It's your choice. I'm not worried about getting COVID. I just don't want to give it to anybody else if I had it. You know, that's why I'm wearing a mask wherever I go out. But if David Price is worried about it, and as Lindsay says, he's got 2 young kids that don't have fully developed immune systems, I'm not going to criticize the guy. It's you know, he doesn't want the virus. All right?
Yeah.
The virus is scary in nature. It's like, you know, we had McMenamin on the other day. He said he's looking forward to going into the bubble, but he doesn't know what to expect. If they sent me to the bubble, I would go. But that doesn't mean everybody has to go.
Right. Yeah, there are people that are specifically that I think could be in the bubble who just are not going to go.
Right. Then it's their choice.
I have no
if somebody wants to be overly cautious about COVID or just doesn't want to mess with this thing, who am I to tell him you got to go?
Yeah, I mean, I said this earlier, but you know, a lot of your relationship to COVID has to do with if you know people who have actually gotten it, right?
Right.
You know, like I have a friend who had a COVID-related stroke, and that changed my view of COVID. I mean, this guy's my age. And had a stroke because of COVID. That makes me more cautious. The people who have had it, like last night I heard Kirk Morrison talk about his brother who had it and said his brother still has moments where he feels like it hasn't gone away. He still has moments where it's like I'm feeling the effects of this still, even though it's been a couple of months. So it really is nothing to mess around with. And I don't blame anybody. And for people who are on Twitter complaining about David Price and saying he was going to be our number 3 starter and we traded for him and now he's not going to be there. You know, you cannot question the motives of somebody who just doesn't want to get sick and doesn't want to get their family sick.
Right. Can't do it.
Nope, can't do it. All right, so John, if you were going to go to a drive-in right now, and there are a bunch of these, what movie would you want to see?
What, so it's got to be a movie that's
any movie from history.
Oh.
What is going to get you to a drive-in?
That's a good question.
there are drive-ins all over LA right now. I will give you some of these titles.
Okay.
And you may be surprised. There are a lot of drive-ins, both makeshift drive-ins and actual drive-ins. And they're all playing old movies. And some of the old movies are really interesting. So we got that coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? It is Wednesday afternoon. Thanks very much for being out there. And by the way, thanks for being out there the whole time we've been on the air from our houses.
Hell yeah.
The whole time. I was talking to our big boss, Amanda Brown, today. And
she, okay, honest answer.
Yeah.
She yell at you about anything?
She did not this time.
Okay, good.
She has. She's been known to yell at me.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of her whipping boy. But no yelling this time. But okay, we're thinking back. It's been, how long has it been now?
3 months, probably.
March to April, April to May, May to June. No, 4 months.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's been 4 months that we've
been doing
this.
Yeah, my last day in the office was March 13th.
Yeah, so right around
four
now.
Months.
Yeah, 4 months. Good God. But thank you very much for being out there. We really do appreciate you. And thanks for listening and thanks for participating and all that stuff. Really, really appreciate it.
Okay, sidebar, Jamal Crawford has agreed to a deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Good for him. Jamal's one of the great guys in the NBA, and now he's back in the league. He's going to play for Brooklyn in the bubble. So good for Jamal Crawford.
They have two more spots to fill.
Yeah. All right, so you were talking about movies. Before you get into these drive-ins, I watched a movie last night that I'm sure you've seen. You mentioned earlier that in some context you brought up The Shining.
Yes.
Okay, The Shining is one of the great movies of all time.
Yes, it is.
Stanley Kubrick, Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
So Lisa and I have been watching movies pretty much every night. Like on Saturday night, we watched Hamilton.
Yep.
On Sunday night, we watched 1917.
Yep.
So last night, and I don't know why we picked this, we were just flipping stuff, flipping around, and we settled on Eyes Wide Shut, which
I love that movie.
That movie is awful.
It is so friggin' good.
It is so bad.
It is so friggin' good.
All right, Lindsay, have you seen it?
Yeah, I think I've seen it. That's the one with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
And Nicole Kidman, yeah. Well, I've had many fights over this movie. That movie is friggin' brilliant.
They should rename the first hour of the movie Nicole Kidman Naked. Then she kind of drops out of the movie. So the first hour I was intrigued because she was pretty much naked for the whole first hour. Then it turns into Tom Cruise as like the horniest human being ever just going to sex parties. And it makes no sense. I think Kubrick, he didn't live to see it open. He died when it was being edited.
Correct.
And I can't imagine this is what he had in mind. It is
like, it's exactly what he had in mind, John.
It's awful.
It's exactly what he had in mind.
It's
so a great
bad
movie.
Yeah. Forget
and by
that
the way,
movie.
A lot of his movies, I mean, The Shining was not a well-reviewed movie.
I liked The Shining a lot.
Yeah, The Shining was not. A lot of his movies were not well-reviewed. Were controversial, and some people didn't like them. I actually loved Eyes Wide Shut, particularly for the way Nicole Kidman takes down Tom Cruise in that one scene where she lights up the joint and just takes him apart piece by piece, picking on him. I love
didn't
that scene.
Did it win a bunch of awards?
No.
It did not win awards, but here's when this movie came out when I was working in New York. It would have been 99, I think the movie came out. And it turned into an immediate fight. There are people that loved the movie and people who absolutely hated the movie.
I am in Camp B.
And I led the love the movie charge. And Kubrick, as you mentioned, was dead. He had passed away. But his brother wrote me a letter thanking me for sticking up for his brother's movie. And yeah. I still have that movie, that letter
should,
to this
his
day.
His brother should go back and watch the movie. It's 3 hours of his life he'll never get back.
It's a fantastic movie. Strong recommend.
What are my choices for the drive-in?
Okay, so these drive-ins are going on all over the place. So, for example, at the Americana, they have a street food cinema. And they are showing Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Great movie.
The Princess Bride.
Great movie.
The Sandlot?
I just saw it, so I'm behind the curve on it, but I liked it.
Yeah, good. You can bring the kids to that one. Independence Day.
Underrated.
Great summer movie.
Yeah, underrated.
Black Panther.
I've only seen parts of it.
What? Who only sees parts of Black Panther? Is Black Panther so friggin' great?
You've never seen any of it, Lindsay?
Nope, none of it.
Come on, Wakanda forever. Moana? Love that movie.
That's a good one.
The Rock is so good in that movie. The Goonies, which has got a legendary following. I used to run the Goonies for midnight shows and just pack them in for the Goonies. And Napoleon Dynamite. Is the other one that they're showing. But there are a
bet
bunch of drive-ins.
Bet I can throw
this
football
now.
Over that mountain.
There you go. Robert De Niro is doing one at the Rose Bowl, the Tribeca drive-in. That's going on. He's got, let's see, Jaws, E.T., Wizard of Oz, Apollo 13, Field of Dreams, Space Jam, on and on, all kinds of movies. And then there's one... in Torrance, there's one that Michael B. Jordan is running. He's running that at the Vineland Drive-In, which is out in the City of Industry. He's showing his movies, Creed and Black Panther, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's not one of his movies. Get Out, a bunch of great movies out there. But that's, you know, to me, this is probably as close as we're going to get to going to a movie this year.
Ben Lyons,
I don't think we're going to see movies this year.
Ben Lyons just texted me, I love Eyes Wide Shut. Tremendous performances. Even Lili Sobieski is good in it.
She's
great. To which I responded, she doesn't speak. Give me a break.
Sidney Pollack, fantastic in that movie.
He's in it for 2 minutes.
Wait a minute. When that girl, that whole scene where that girl passes out. And
that's
and
the 2 minutes.
Yeah, but he's great in that 2 minutes.
Oh, please.
Plus, he's running the sex club.
Please. Normally you'd think a movie about a sex club is a movie that I would be deep into. It was just, I walked out. I made Lisa watch the end by herself.
Wow. Wow.
Terrible.
Yeah, by the way, I said this is probably the only way we're going to see movies. Universal had two Halloween movies. They had a Halloween sequel with Mike Myers and just talking to him like he's a character. Mike Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis, and a sequel to Candyman. Both of them have been pushed to 2021.
Makes sense. There's, you know, they need to be released in Halloween season, so there you go.
And they don't have any faith in this Halloween. I just don't know when movie theaters are going to be able to open again. I think we're not even close.
See, I would go as long as they were socially distanced. Wait, no, wait a minute. You said you would go to a Ram game. Why wouldn't you go to a movie?
Because at a Rams game, if there's 14,000 people in a 70,000-seat stadium,
right,
I can live with that. That's a lot of social distance.
So what if there's 20 people in a 200-seat theater?
If they allowed 20 people in?
Yeah. Whatever the ratio is.
The movie's got to be fantastic, right? I'm not going to see anything like if they ever do release Christopher Nolan Tenet, and I've seen
I
commercials
they did.
For it.
They didn't?
No, they haven't. They keep pushing it back. It's now, I think, August the 31st.
I'm starting to wonder if that's even a real movie. It's almost
they've been
a
advertising
joke at this
it
point.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, there's nobody knows what it's about because you never know anything about what a Christopher Nolan movie is going to be about. But John David Washington's in it. Robert Pattinson's in it. The commercials look really cool. The commercials look cool. But it's got to be a movie of that caliber to actually get me to go in, even if there's 20 people in a 200-seat theater. I don't want to get this thing. I just really, like, for example, I got a scare. Last night, I show up at my acupuncture office.
Wait a minute, you're doing acupuncture? How is that COVID safe?
She's got a shield on and a mask on. An okay. M95 mask and a shield. Okay. And I've got an M95 mask on. What's that?
I said it's self-care. You kind of need it.
Yeah, you kind of need it. So, but she texted last night and said she was feeling some symptoms. She was feeling headachy and she was running a slight fever. And I'm like, oh, damn. Are you kidding? The one thing I choose to do for myself during this time, go to acupuncture.
Well, see, so everybody's making decisions. Like some people would tell you if you were going to acupuncture, you're crazy.
See, I think of it as a medical treatment.
It's essential. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
For me, it's a medical treatment. And it's like the first thing that I let myself, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope I don't get this thing. I really don't want to get this. This sounds like it sucks.
Yeah, I don't think it would. Chances are, you're in your 50s. Chances are, would not take you out, but it would be very uncomfortable.
Would not take you out.
Yeah, like when my mom got it, I was deeply worried that this could be
sure,
it.
Sure.
You know, but I think if you or I got it, we'd probably live. It'd just be miserable for a while.
Yeah, it just wouldn't take me out.
Yeah.
That's good. I wouldn't want to be taken out by it.
Exactly.
All right.
There's no way to go.
Coming up next for you, I want to ask you something about baseball and the social justice movement. Mookie Betts talked about it, actually, yesterday in a Zoomer.
Okay.
Got that coming up next for you. And Game of Games is coming up, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. So Mookie Betts held a Zoom press conference yesterday, And he talked about the job that baseball has done with the Black Lives Matter movement and the social justice movement.
I think baseball did not do a good job of that, but I think voices were heard, and I think that's the main thing, is that we get our voices heard to make some changes. And I know it's not going to be all at one time, but you know, a little change here, a little change there, and eventually we'll get to where we need to be.
So eventually we get, he doesn't sound like he's thrilled by the way baseball has handled Black Lives Matter and the social justice issues. And it should be noted that it took the league, Major League Baseball, a good 2 weeks to actually release a formal statement as a league. Individual teams release statements, but the league itself, it took them a very long time to release a statement.
Oh, let's be honest about something. Can we? I mean, come on. Baseball is the whitest sport there is.
Yeah, this is where, it's also the brownest sport there is.
Right, but, you know, people think that, if you look at African American, Eric Davis used to come on our show and make this point all the time when he was doing RBI, you know, which was reviving baseball in the inner city. He just said that when he was growing up, him and Daryl Strawberry were in high school together.
Yep.
And he said everybody tried to talk him into playing football and basketball, because they said you can't make any money playing baseball, you'll be stuck in the minors, and it's just not cool to black kids. And so for baseball to be behind the curve in reacting, and Mookie Betts, I think, makes a decent point, is that they haven't been proactive. They haven't been aggressive. You know, he's one of... If you and I played a game, name all the black stars in baseball, the game would be over.
It's a short game, yes. It's a short game.
And so I think Mookie Betts is completely justified for criticizing baseball about this.
Yeah, and I, you know, the one thing, and John, I completely agree with you. You know, baseball is in a weird spot in terms of sports right now, because its appeal is older. Its appeal is whiter. If you go to Dodger Stadium, it's, you know, there are an awful lot of Latino fans who go to games. So I think baseball has got a huge Latino following. But I would really like to see baseball do something progressive. If you want young black athletes to play baseball, if you want younger fans to engage in the sport, show that you get it. I think in the same way that the NBA is putting Black Lives Matter on the courts in Orlando, baseball should put Black Lives Matter on the field. Generationally, it's where people's heads are. The under 35 crowd, this is top of mind awareness right now. This is what people are thinking about right now, is social justice. If you want that next generation of black athletes to consider baseball, make them feel welcome. Make them feel welcome. Put Black Lives Matter on the field.
And it, you know, they don't do anything to promote, like, outside of Mookie Betts. Like, for example, Funch, do you consider yourself like an average baseball fan, less than average, or more than
less,
average?
Less than average.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who Tim Anderson is?
Former Angel, right?
Nope.
No, I don't.
He's the best hitter on the White Sox. He's this young, he competes for the batting title every year. He's really, really good. Mace, I think Tim Anderson could walk down the street in most cities, maybe even including Chicago, and nobody would know what he does for a living.
Right.
I mean, it's just and he's
there's something culturally that goes on with baseball too. You're not supposed to stand out. That's the general premise of the game. It's
yeah,
a team
and when
game.
You do, one of the old guard yells, you know, shouts you down, like, play the game the right way.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. It's don't stand out. And that's what NBA players are so good at. They're so good at standing out and being individuals and having a brand. More baseball players need to have a brand. I mean, we joke about brands all the time. You know, what's the Venice Mays brand? What's the John Ireland brand? All that kind of stuff. But professional athletes, for the sake of the sport, should build a brand. It's good for the game. It's giving back to the game. I mean, Mike Trout is the best player in the game. Will go down as one of the greatest players in Major League Baseball history. Is going to have 3,000-plus hits, all that kind of stuff. But he's not an engaging personality. He's a super nice guy. Super nice guy. But not an engaging personality. Doesn't say anything that makes waves. And I think that's what the way baseball players think. It's like, I don't want it to be about me. And for the game to succeed and thrive again, baseball players, individual players, do need to make it about them. Be somebody. We talked about Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is out there stirring up all kinds of stuff on Twitter all the time. He's got a brand. He's an antagonist. He's an anti-hero. He's great for the game. We need more of those guys as opposed to guys who are in that play the game the right way, that low-key, I don't want to make this about me. That crowd is not helping the game.
Right. Well, like, Funch, do you know who Joe Adele is?
No clue.
Lindsay, do you know who Joe Adele is?
No clue either. I know Tim Anderson, but not him.
Okay. Joe Adele is the Angels' best prospect.
Yes.
Like Buster thinks he's going to be
a superstar.
Unlike Cody Bellinger good. Mace, number one, I don't think most people know who Joe Adele is. And number two, I would venture to say almost nobody knows he's black. You know, and so the Angels have like one of the best young, bright black stars in the game that, you know, it's going to make an impact this year. But because the Angels aren't a real, like, stir-the-drink team, like, they're not even the number one team in their own market, maybe nobody sees Joe Adele play. So I think you're right. I think they've got to do a better job of promoting these guys and getting behind them and marketing their stars.
And they've got to be encouraged by the league to go out and build their own brand. Somebody's got to say, Rob Manfred needs to have some sort of seminar for players that talks about, hey, what's good for the game is getting people talking about the game. And what's good to get people talking about the game is you saying something, you standing for something, you being someone, you having a brand. Let people know who you are. There's an expression, take the basket off your head. Take the basket off your head. Show people who you are. Be an individual. Be a brand. Be a star. Enjoy that. It's good for the game. It's good for the overall game.
Yeah,
and John, what do you think the odds are that baseball puts Black Lives Matter on the field?
Zero.
Yeah, what are they thinking? What are they thinking?
Well, and in particular, the Dodgers and the Angels with Mookie Betts and Joe Adele. And, you know, the Angels, at least, having a minority owner in Artie Moreno, should be the ones leading the charge on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that next generation...
Stick it on the wall in right field, right in front of Mookie Betts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Doesn't it say the same thing as having number 42 on the wall?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think they need... I'm glad that Betts spoke out about this. I think it's smart, and I hope... You know, he played in Boston, where they finally admitted this year they have a huge racial problem with black players coming through there. So, you know.
Go figure, Boston racist, huh?
Well, but
never heard that before.
Except before, nobody was, I can't remember, I don't think you were here the day we tracked Torrey Hunter down. But we had Torrey Hunter on the show.
Yeah.
And he was like, I didn't want to talk about it, but I had it in my deal that I had a no-trade clause that they couldn't trade me to Boston. Because they'd yell the N-word at me when I was standing in the outfield. And people just looked the other way on it, and finally the Red Sox and MLB came out and said, okay, we're going to acknowledge this problem, and as you said earlier in the show, we're going to hang a lantern on it, and maybe it'll get better.
Yeah.
So I would love to see them be more progressive in promoting black stars. I think it'd be smart.
Yep. All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. By the way, we've got the official score. Lindsay, you haven't been here the last couple of days. So far in the month of July, I've won two games. Ireland has won one. Lindsay has won one. And Brian Kamenetsky has won one.
You out there, Funch?
Still here.
Where is Funch?
I'm awake,
guys.
All right.
So, Ireland, it's your game today, right?
Yeah, I got a good one. As a matter of fact, Funch and Lindsay have played this game, but you haven't. I invented it while you were gone, so we'll play it next.
All right, Game of Games coming up next for you, Slee, at 6 o'clock tonight. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games. I've got a lead in the month of July, and Ireland's got the game today. Lindsay's got a win this month so far, and Funch is scoreless.
All right, but today is your chance, Funch.
I feel like today's my day, guys.
All right, Mace, we played this for the first time when you were gone. It went very well. Everyone did exceptionally well at it. This is a game based on Cash Cab.
Okay.
In other words, I'm going to ask each one of you a question. The questions start easy, then they get harder. If you answer correctly, you move on. If you miss, you're out. If you get stumped, you can ask for one clue.
Okay.
But you can only do that once.
Okay.
Okay? So once you use your clue, you're on your own for the rest of the way. Okay?
Got it.
So here
this
we go.
This one was really hard. At least I thought it was.
Okay. So here we go. Lindsay, first question to you. What does the acronym FLOTUS stand for? FLOTUS.
First Lady of the United States.
Very
there
good.
You go.
You're on to the next round. Funch. Name the sensitive on-off device invented by the same company who brought us the Chia Pet.
The sensitive what?
On-off device.
Oh, the clapper.
The clapper is correct.
There you go.
You're on to the next round. Mace, what famous waterway connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans opened in 1914?
The Panama Canal.
Correct, and all three of you are on to the next one. Okay. Lindsay, a 1958 experiment with a tape recorder gave birth to a trio of chipmunks named Alvin, Simon, and what?
Theodore.
Theodore, very good. You're on to the third
round. I would not have gotten that.
Really?
No, wouldn't have gotten that.
I would have given
you.
Yeah, you could have used your clue. All right, Funch, famously performed by Michael Jackson, what dance move most likely originated by a French mime?
Moonwalk.
Moonwalk is correct.
Yes.
You're on to the next round. Mace, name the controversial owner of baseball's Cincinnati Reds who was suspended for her racial slurs.
Marge Schott
used to come in the show, used to answer her own phone. All right, everybody on to the third round. Now they're going to get tougher. All right, Lindsay, lying low in L.A., a mammoth skeleton was discovered in 2009 next to what famously sticky site?
The La Brea Tar Pits.
The La Brea Tar Pits is
yeah.
Right, and you're still alive. Funch. Who did Muhammad Ali fight in the famous Rumble in the Jungle?
George Foreman.
George Foreman is correct. Mace, name the famed ship that's been escorting tourists next to Niagara Falls for more than 100 years.
Good God.
Sounds like you might need your clue.
I'm going to need my clue.
Okay. The first word of this answer would be another word for the person who might clean your hotel room. And the last word of this answer would have something to do with a type of light rain. That's your clue.
Made mist.
Close enough. Made of the mist is
made.
The name of that syrup.
There you go. Okay,
wait
good.
A minute. Who's buzzing you out? I'm the only judge here. Made of the mist counts. All right, so now you guys are on.
By the way, did anybody else know that? Funch, did you know that?
Yes,
not at all.
100%.
Not at all.
You knew it?
I've been on the Maid of the Mist a bunch of times.
So have I.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So now this is the red light challenge. You each have 30 seconds to answer your own question. and you can't give out a wrong answer. So just fire out guesses and see if you get them. Lindsay, you're first. Are you ready?
Yep.
You got 30 seconds. Name five of Snow White's seven dwarfs. Go.
Sleepy, Grumpy, Doc, Happy, Bashful.
Boom. They got
Boom,
it.
Boom, you got it.
Oh, okay. The answers were Bashful, Doc, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy, and Sneezy. Very good. Funch, you had 30 seconds. Name three of the five fastest animals on land. Go.
Cheetah.
One.
Rabbit?
No.
15
seconds. Just guess.
Five. Panther.
Four. No. Three.
Tiger.
Two. No. One. You're out.
Oh.
You had Lindsay or Mace, you want to help on that? Cheetah was one. He needed two more.
I'm Anybody surprised else? It wasn't Panther.
Nope.
What about Lion?
Lion is one. That'd be
lion.
Two.
And Gazelle.
Gazelle is another one. That would have been your three. The other two were Antelope and Wildebeest. So, Funch, good effort, but today is not your day.
Yep.
Not your day. Not
Mace,
day.
You need to get this right or Lindsay wins it.
Okay? Yep.
Here we go. Name three of the six cities with the world's busiest subway systems. Go.
New York.
Right.
London.
No.
Japan. Tokyo.
Yes. One more. 15 seconds.
Paris.
Yes. You're in. Tokyo, New York City, Paris. The other two were Moscow and a place you've been, I think. Have you not been to Seoul? South
I
Korea?
Have been to Seoul, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently they have a really busy subway system, but you got it. The three you needed were New York City, Paris, and Tokyo,
yes.
Which means it's down to Lindsay and Mace
wow.
in a tiebreaker. Okay? Now, here's the tiebreaker. Jerry Rice is the NFL's all-time leader in touchdowns scored with 208. Emmitt Smith is second. How many career touchdowns did Emmitt Smith score? Closest without going over, and to make it fair, you can't guess within 10 of another player. Lindsay, how many did Emmitt Smith score touchdowns? Take a guess.
In his career, correct?
Career, yeah.
I'm going to guess 107. Well, is it how closest without going over?
Correct.
I'll guess 150.
Okay, Mace.
I'll guess 110.
The correct answer... Emmitt Smith scored 175 career touchdowns,
oh!
and Lindsay Fulton has extended her lead.
Lindsay!
Lindsay, you almost
Back.
Got it. You almost got it exactly. You when you said 170, the right answer is 175. So,
well, I didn't want to go over.
Right.
And, you know, Mace, you could have just guessed 10 more than me and you would have won.
Well,
but.
That was his thing. He had to either go low or high. So
low or high, low. Yeah. I ended up going lower.
Yeah, so Lindsay, well
Lindsay.
Done.
Lindsay. On the board, yes. She's got two wins now in the month of July. Good
Very
job, Lynch.
Impressive. All right, coming up next is Sliwa. Now, wait,
yeah.
did you give Sliwa the assignment of watching Hamilton?
Yes, gave him the assignment of watching okay. Hamilton.
So I watched it without an assignment. Adam Bronstein watched Hamilton and did not like it.
Yeah, something's wrong with Adam Bronstein. Something's wrong. I think the play was smarter than Adam.
Well, and I do agree with one thing Adam said. I think the play probably translated better than the movie did, just because
sure.
you're yeah, but still very impressive.
Yeah, it was. They shot it apparently over three nights, cobbled it together, those were the final three performances for Lin-Manuel Miranda as Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So, Alan Sliwa with a complete review of Hamilton
if
coming
he,
up
if
next
he watched
for you.
It.
If he
or,
did.
Or knowing Sliwa, he'll just lie and said he watched it. So we'll quiz him on it.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Great film. Great film, guys. Great film.
Yeah, great film. Love that. Hey, guys. Love that film. Love it. It's a Sliwa impression. Hey, guys. How you doing? He's coming up next, 710 ESPN. Do we have Sliwa?
Right here, guys. Right here.
What's
how
happening,
you
guys?
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, guys?
Okay,
guys.
First here.
How's my impression of Alan Sliwa? Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Which one's better?
Hey, guys.
They're both pretty good.
Did you watch Hamilton?
Okay, I need a couple more. Give me till Monday. Oh, give me till Monday.
Wait a minute. Your assignment was this last weekend. You had an entire damn weekend in a pandemic, and all you had to do was watch Hamilton.
What did you do? What did you do with your time this weekend?
Was down in San Diego, was with family, driving back up on Monday, so I didn't make it happen. But I'll make it happen by Monday. I'll see Hamilton. I'll watch Hamilton. Okay. By the way, real quick, do you know what I'm watching right now?
Soccer.
John.
We kind of have some
sports right now. Orlando, Miami.
Orlando, Miami, scoreless in the 24th minute.
But I mean, just kind of give it a second.
What a stop!
I know, Mace, you're probably not too crazy about it, but just in
I am. I love LAFC. I love going to those games. They're going to play in just 5 days. They're playing Houston.
13th. Mm-hmm. But that's so, look. It's kind of a big step, right? I mean, I know we're. Every single day, I heard the interview with Buster Olney, and I don't think you walk away with the most confidence with some of that conversation. But the fact that soccer is going, pretty soon baseball is going to be going, and hopefully by that point we see all these NBA teams starting to arrive in Orlando. I mean, it's got to get you a little bit excited.
The one thing, the takeaway for me from that Buster interview was that he thinks there's a 30% chance that this will start, but a 0% chance that it will finish. I actually think, Mace, if it starts, the chances of it finishing go way up, don't you?
I completely agree. I mean, these owners have hung themselves out there for the purpose of getting that postseason money. I would be shocked if they will be stubborn, hopefully not reckless, but they'll be stubborn about pulling the plug even after some positive tests.
Doesn't it seem like for all these sports, I mean, really, if they can go, they're going to go. And what I'm saying there is, as long as they can, you know, obviously make this thing happen. I heard the clip you guys played of Adam Silver from yesterday. Everyone is obviously taking the chance, and the 0% chance. I mean, I don't know how can you say zero? By the way, I mean it just seems you can't say it kind of either way. But obviously, Buster not too confident that they'll get the season done. All right, I got one other thing for you, Mace. So you guys were talking about those drive-in.
Yeah, drive-in movies. Yeah.
What were some of the movies out there? By the way, John, did you just see Sandlot? You said.
Yeah, this year.
Did you like it or no?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I didn't like it as much as Lindsay. So does Lindsay. That's like one of her favorite movies.
It's if it hit you at a certain age, it really you love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at some of the lists that were there. Mace, by the way, how great is that? And I think you mentioned Pasadena. I think one of them, you said was that De Niro that was, you know, putting that together.
Yeah, De Niro's doing a pop-up at the Rose Bowl.
A lot of these are sold out. I mean, so it's
Are they actually sold out?
The one I was looking at, the Tribeca one you were talking about, which had. It wasn't just Rose Bowl. I think every weekend there's somewhere else or something along those. Maybe over like 3 days, I want to say. Most of them were sold out, but that's just kind of based
on. No, takes over the parking lot at the Rose Bowl. High-tech screen visible even during daylight, so some family fare starts earlier in the afternoon. Some evenings also feature live stand-up comedy. Hey, live stand-up comedy. Jaws, E.T., Neverending Story, Wizard of Oz, Apollo 13, Field of Dreams, Space Jam. Creed. Oh, and there are nights of comedy out there.
What a great idea.
So you can go see a stand-up show.
No, what a great idea.
That's a great idea.
You know what? I finally got a chance to, and I should have done this earlier, but I listened to the full podcast today.
Which one?
You and John.
Really? Oh, the one, the personal one.
Yes, very
what
personal.
Was your big, what was your biggest takeaway from that, Alan?
I think for those who have listened to you guys for a number of years, I know for me, I didn't know, first of all, I didn't know how personal it was going to get, but I just learned, you know, obviously so much more about the both of you from a family perspective that I had no idea. And I know you guys, you know, tell a lot of stories on the air and are as honest as possible on the air.
Are you amazed? Hey, by the way, Alan, are you surprised that Mason's gay?
Shocked.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that was actually, one of the big revelations.
Yeah,
actually, John, the way you were kind of setting it up of, you know, obviously, Mace, you were going to make that decision when you decide to make the decision to let, you know, obviously to come out.
Yes.
But John, the way you were explaining it of, if you asked, I think if I'm right, you said if you asked 10 people and you just got their reaction, you wouldn't think it was as big as you probably have built it up in your head. You know what I'm talking about, John? When you kind of you mentioned it that way.
Yeah, well, no, I told him for years that if Mace came out, that like we probably each year more and more people were in on it,
right?
And it just so
it got
I,
to the point where everybody I worked with knew,
right? And yeah. So I thought that it was going to be a fairly soft landing, but Mace, you've said many times that you were pleasantly surprised by how positive the reaction was and continues to be, that the hate you feared for a lot of years never really came.
Never materialized at all. And in fact, you know, the thing that came out of it more than anything is that the way I did it was really specific. It was to not make it a big deal. I wanted to be just plain matter of fact. I wasn't throwing a parade. A parade, as you would say.
Yeah.
I wasn't riding afloat at Gay Pride, although I have done it, and
now,
it's
I
cool.
I am so doing it with you if you ever do that again. I'm going to be right up there on the float with you, and people are going to say, now, which one of those guys is gay?
Yeah.
And tell me that they're not going to think it's me.
I have
I'll
people
be singing show tunes. I will. Oh, it'll be.
I had people ask me, John.
Pink polo. It'll be fabulous.
Multiple times, I had people ask me, is John Ireland gay?
Exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, you are so missing this boat. You are completely missing this boat.
So wait a minute.
It's right there in front of you.
There's no business like show business.
By the way, if you want to hear that podcast, you can go to stevemason.com. There's also a really good one with George Sedano where we get personal again that you should listen to, Alan.
I heard the Sedano one. I listened to Sedano one. I think it was last week, but you in Ireland today, this morning is when I listened
to
it.
Wait a minute. You listened to the Sedano one before you listened to the one with the guy you're on with every day?
Here's what happened. I listened to – you were just – I think that one had just come out, and you were promoting it. So I was like, all right, let me give it a listen. I listened to it, and then you guys kept talking about in that podcast about the podcast with the two of you. So, yes, I did do it in that order.
Wow. Wow. You think you know somebody. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Sliwa, have you ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut?
Okay, I heard you guys talking about this earlier. Is Eyes Wide Shut the one with
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, yeah. Sex Club?
I may have seen like parts of it, but not something I remember.
Yeah, it's horrible. Don't
it's
waste
great.
Your time.
You
said
it's great.
You said you walked out?
Oh, yeah.
He walked out of his living room.
Yeah, I went my big screen TV room. I told Lisa, you're on your own. I'm done. I'm going.
I think most people now view Eyes Wide Shut as a classic.
A classic waste of time. That's what
I'm going to put that out on a poll.
By the way, the percentage is that's interesting. Where or Steve, you kept mentioning, you know, you want to be one of the first to walk into SoFi, and if they do, if they do, was it Baltimore that's doing it? Is it
14,000 fans?
14,000. And then, John, when you put it that way, when you said, okay, well, what if it's a 200-person theater and they're only opening it for 20? I think I'm kind of in on those. I think I'm in on both of those.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. All right, 200-person theater, let's say they let 25 people in. Can the theater make enough money to justify, like, if all 25 people buy concessions, because they overcharge on that, are you making money?
It's really tough. You know, there's a popular conception out there, misperception out there, that the theaters don't make any money from ticket sales. But in fact, half of all ticket sale money winds up going to the theater owner. So the ticket money is significant. And of course, revenue from the concession stand is a really big deal. And the markup is healthy. I don't know if it's worth theaters opening and staffing up in order to have 20 people in a theater.
Well, because we can apply the same thing to a sporting event. So if the Dodgers open it up for fans, but they only allow, let's say, 20 people in each section.
Yes.
Let's say the Dodgers allow 10,000 to 12,000 fans. They normally can fit 60,000 in there. Let's say they 10,000 to 12,000 fans. Is that worth bringing in the ushers, bringing in the concession workers, bringing in the parking people? I don't know. But I can't imagine. Like, that's why Colicchio thinks that 80% of restaurants are going to fail. Because even if they reopen the restaurants, you have to reopen at 25 to 50% capacity. You got to give up half your tables.
John, just using that example, that's where I think all of a sudden when you see that, okay, the Ravens are saying, okay, we'll allow 20%, 25% capacity, maybe there is opportunity for some of these baseball stadiums. I mean, why, if somebody's going to go to a restaurant and it's at 20, 25% capacity and it's just outdoor seating, let's just use as an example, can't you do the same thing for sports? I mean, these stadiums are so big, you can social distance properly, unless what you're saying, John, is just from a business perspective, the finances just don't work.
That's the question. I don't know if you can make enough money if you only let up. What if Baltimore, would they say 14,000 people 70,000 seat 70. Stadium? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, I mean,
isn't that just found money?
That's about 17-18%. I don't know.
I think it is found money. By the way, do you guys see this thing for they're going to sell seats for Wrigley rooftops? Did you see that?
Oh, really?
So they approved for 25% capacity. Seats are going for $350. So I think you can also, if somebody really wants to go to a game, I wouldn't be surprised they take those tickets, they jack them up a little bit. I mean, you kind of have a stadium to yourself almost.
Sure, you kind of do. Mm-hmm. You kind of do. By the way, so far, Eyes Wide Shut, 34% say a classic, 66% say a disaster.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
It's early.
Disaster.
Only 74 votes.
Well, let's see where we stand at 6:24 when we hit the door. I'm confident the disaster will be the victor. That movie is a disaster. That was a good choice of words by you.
There were some good at some of those drive-in movies. The League of Their Own, I think I saw on there. Meet the Parents.
I was in a League of Their Own.
You know, I
was just going to say, do I know this story?
I played Angry Fan number 3. We shot in Evansville, Indiana.
That's amazing.
I was behind home plate on that big play between Gina Davis and Lori Petty at home plate, the big collision.
The final play where she's coming around?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you can see me in the background. I've got an old-fashioned hat on, and I take it off, and I slam it down because I'm so angry at that play.
If there's a shot to be in, that's the shot.
Oh, it was the money shot.
Great scene.
The best moment of the entire thing. Yeah, it was fun. It was Evansville, Indiana. What's weird is I took a bunch of, they were looking for extras, mm-hmm. and so I took a busload of people from Toledo to Evansville, Indiana to be extras on the set of A League of Their Own, and the casting director picked me out of the crowd and said, you look like your period. And she gave me a hat, gave me a jacket.
There's a joke there that I'll pass on.
Yeah, I know. And eventually, I was in the big scene, which is awesome.
Mace, how long does that one scene take? Like how much of your time are you sitting there for that just one scene? Like, is this something that?
And please, Mason, tell me that you yelled for no reason. Line.
They shot that probably 20 times.
Really?
Yeah, 20 times.
So she's rounding third 20 times, coming in full speed.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, 20 times. Now, when I did Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus for Sci-Fi Network, I was one take Mace.
Did you get killed in that movie?
No, I did not. I have seen with Urkel. What's his name?
Jaleel White.
Jaleel White totally held my own. It was an interrogation scene, totally held my own.
Both Max and Marcellus killed in Sharknado.
They were great in Sharknado.
By the way, Steve, you give Kellerman a compliment on the podcast. Very nice.
Well, what did I say about him?
He's coming back, Sliwa. Did you hear that big announcement yesterday?
I saw that. Max, what is he, 11-1?
What did I say about Kellerman?
You said, think real quick. You actually said, I hope he doesn't hear this. You said something to the effect of one of the things you learned from him was he would come on and kind of take a topic and not really know where it was going to go, but was completely comfortable with saying, okay, well, let's see what happens here.
Yes. He's great on a high wire. That's the great thing about Kellerman. He's and I don't want this to get back to him, But I loved working with the guy. Didn't you love working with Max Ireland?
Sure. Yeah. No, him and Marcellus. They were both great.
Yeah, Max was one. I think Max is one of the most talented radio guys I had a chance to work with in my whole career. I think he's natural.
I know. Actually, I'm very curious with his own show because obviously him and Max had it, or him and Marcellus had incredible chemistry, right?
Yes.
Their chemistry was, you know, as good as it gets from a radio perspective. I'd be curious how he does on his own show, which he's one of the few that I think you can listen to and let him kind of rant. I know him and Stephen A, they're going back and forth. It's debate, but I think there's a lot of curiosity how Max will just kind of, on an island, how he'll do. I think he'll do fine, but there's some curiosity there.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I think it'll be great. I have no idea if how we'll hear it. I don't know for sure that we're carrying it.
Oh, sure we will. It's Max.
Are we?
It's Max.
It's Max. I mean, we should, just for Max's sake. Do him a solid.
I think he had a good he had just, what is he, 4 or 5 years here in L.A.? I think he had a good local audience for him.
So a great local audience. Great local audience. Yeah, people love Max. People love Max. The best thing about Max was, first time I ever met him was Christmas Day at a Lakers game.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced myself to him and said, "Hey, Steve Mason, Mason in Ireland." He said, "Yeah, Mason in Ireland. Good to meet you." He thought my name was Mason Ireland.
That's right.
Mason Ireland. Nice to meet you,
Steve. Yeah. There was when he first got to LA. He had came into one of the sales meetings. Our sales meetings, I think, are Tuesday at the time. Maybe they were 8:30s when they started. Maybe 9 o'clock, something like that. And they were saying, "Okay, look, Max Kellerman. You know, obviously he's going to be a part of the station." And everybody knew him from boxing, but nobody really knew too much from that. At least I didn't. I knew, obviously, his boxing analysis was the best in the business. So he comes in, and I just remember him saying, "You know, whatever those rates are now that you're charging, I'm gonna blow those rates out of the water. You're gonna be selling me." I mean, he was selling like it just came out of nowhere. Like Max has a very calm kind of, you know, the way he comes off is very calm. But in that sales meeting, he was selling himself some. He was selling some Max Kellerman.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Coming up next for you, did you do a game?
Okay, I have a game. Yes, we'll do the game. Let me set it up that way. We'll do the game when we come back.
Okay, that's right, good.
Can I read a breaking news story from Chris Haynes?
Yeah, please
Yahoo?
Do. Yeah.
Los Angeles Clippers star Kawhi Leonard did not travel with the team to Orlando in order to tend to a family matter. Will join the team in a few days.
Interesting.
So if you go down on your own, don't you have to quarantine longer?
You know, I
think if you go down with your team, you quarantine for 4 days, and if you go down without, you quarantine for 7.
I think Bomber will buy a jet just for the 4 days.
Oh,
Bomber will find a way.
Yeah,
he very well could. He very well could. All right, more Crosstalk coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Cross-Trade service for our listeners right now. $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com to grab all your information. Okay, so Mace...
Sliwa, before you get into this game, are you accepting the Labor Day hot dog eating contest rematch?
Weren't given a choice.
Okay, so had a conversation with Kirk yesterday. I actually wanted to genuinely get Kirk Morrison, just his opinion.
Yeah, what does he think you should do?
All right, here's what Kirk said. Kirk said, we actually had this conversation together, so I was kind of also leaning towards this. Kirk said, "You got to admit that I'm up 1-0 in this series. You have to at least admit that I won 9-8 in round one."
Even though we never saw you eat, did Kirk look at the videotape?
Kirk knows that I wouldn't lie about that. 9-8.
You didn't answer the question. Did Kirk look at the videotape?
Yeah, Kirk watched the whole thing. He called me at 8 o'clock on Thursday, the night that it happened.
And could he see you eating? Because I can't.
He could see a lot of the top of my head.
Yeah. It was all anybody could see.
And he saw
The only way this happens is if I acknowledge that you won the first round?
Well, of course. I mean, why else would we do this?
to resolve the dispute.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to say the whole reason to do this is to have a rematch because in the first one, nobody knows if you actually
It was a
won.
Draw.
I had nine hot dogs, guys.
It was a draw. Dogs. Just right. couldn't tell.
So you say.
Is it not a fact that you have lied about meaningless games before?
Which game? Which game, John?
You lied about the birthday game.
Tell me what happened at the birthday game.
We asked you if you listened to it the first time and if you already yes. knew the names, and you said, no, I did not listen.
Right.
Then
and then what
it was
happened?
Over, you mm-hmm. said, you know what, guys, I lied. I did listen.
I said I listened right after.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my bit.
I'm still waiting for that moment with the hot dog thing. Guys.
It's never going to happen.
Hey, guys.
Because I had nine
me.
Hot dogs.
You got me. I had a girl under my counter. She was eating the dogs for me.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
With all the conspiracy theories, someone was down there eating them.
Yeah. Lindsay,
he did not
Lindsay
have a
knows.
Girl under the counter.
Lindsay knows that I had nine hot dogs.
I don't know. I don't know that I do, Sliwa, because, like I said, you could not see any of the hot dogs on the tray. You couldn't see them going into your mouth. You couldn't see what was happening.
I will do it again that. Next 4th of July then.
Hey, guys, what that's how you do it, L.A. That's how you do it, L.A.
I was very excited. I was very excited.
You were so excited.
Oh, I was pumped.
Oh, you were like, it was one of the highlights of your whole broadcast career.
Mason, if Sliwa refuses the rematch on Labor Day, I think you should refuse to ever compete against him in anything again.
Wow.
I think that's your play.
That's strong.
Or he could just say, all right, you had nine hot dogs. I'm taking your word for it. And let's do it again on Labor Day.
But we know that you will lie about these things.
Why so it's going to be like Ward Gotti.
Oh, that's so good.
This it's going to so be good. Like Ward Gotti. A trilogy.
Well, that would be the worst thing.
Okay. I will do it for the rematch.
Okay. So
you won. You won. I can't.
That's
the words
hollow,
don't come out of my.
That's a hollow acceptance. And by the way, Sliwa, just because you're forcing Mason to admit it, does not mean the rest of us who are impartial observers,
which is completely
think that,
okay.
Think
it's like boxing.
Won.
It's like boxing.
Listen.
Nobody's ever happy with the decision.
It's like the marquee race. Keyshawn won that race by any reasonable standard, and so Marcellus still argues.
By the way, I've always thought Marcellus won the race.
That by what metric?
The lean. I believe in the lean.
Keyshawn's foot was over the line before Marcellus ever hit the tape.
Marcellus's upper body
was
leaning.
No?
There's tape. I've broken down that tape.
No. What I mean is at the finish line, did they actually run through tape? I can't remember. And
yeah.
I
no, they
there,
did
I
not.
Yeah,
did they run through tape?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Keyshawn's foot lands over the line. Any part of your body
But Marcellus
the line.
Broke the tape.
What? But after Keyshawn's foot has crossed the line.
So what would happen in the...
It's a race. You break the tape. That's how you win.
No, the first person to run 100 yards wins. That was key.
Yeah, I've never bought that. I've always thought Marcellus won that.
Well, I may change now that Sliwa ate to nine hot dogs because you're an idiot. the tape is right there for you to look at.
So then why have that tape at the finish line? Like, I see what
it's
you're
ceremonial.
Saying, John. If his foot
Oh, it's
goes
the
over.
Ceremonial tape.
Mace, in the Olympics, if somebody's foot crosses the line, do they win the gold medal?
If they cross the line.
Their foot crosses the line, the finish line.
Yes, it would be recorded.
There you go. Then it's key.
But you wouldn't, but sprinters always break it with their upper body.
But Key eventually hit the tape. It's just Marcellus crossed the tape after Key's foot crossed the line.
Yeah. I'm going to dispute that till the end.
Well, it's on tape. You can go look at it.
I know. Right, I've so seen Sliwa, it. I broke
yes
it out of the tape.
Yes or no to Labor Day, Sliwa?
Mace, give me the word.
Okay. Sliwa won. How's that?
Labor Day, we're in.
Okay.
It sounded
kind of
like E.T. when you did that.
All right.
By the way, real quick, Mace.
Do you have a game, Sliwa? Because we're running out
we're
of
not,
time.
Yeah, we're not going to have time. We're not going to have time.
We're not going to have time.
I don't Wait a minute. This what is, are we going to do for 4 minutes?
This is kind of a long game. Could I ask you a question, Mace? On
yeah.
the So after you ate those hot dogs,
yes.
Remember we were talking and you're like, I'm never doing this again?
Yeah.
How do you feel about doing it again in 2 months?
Psyched. I'm training now. I'm so training now. I am so going to win this thing. And
okay,
we are
so
actually,
now. Go ahead.
We are actually going to see you eat. The way we set up the camera, it's going to show you eating the hot
dogs.
Yeah,
we'll do it. we'll do it the right way. That camera was awful. Okay, so the way Mace, the way you took down eight dogs.
Yeah.
Like, now that you've done it, how many do you think you could take? I kind of have an idea what I can probably get the second time around.
I'm going 11.
You're going to go from 8 to 11?
8 to 11.
And you have 7 minutes and 10 seconds? That's the way it works?
7 minutes and 10 seconds.
Now he has time to train, and he now that he knows what he's up against.
Okay.
Well, but I was going to say, no question about it, it's going to be double digits this time. Like,
no question, it's going to be double digits.
It is going to be double digits.
No, it's going to be life or death. Let's face it. I mean, this is for everything. And I don't say that all the time. This is for everything. But it is.
What if it happens on the day of a Laker game, and so Sliwa will have to eat 11 hot dogs and then host both the Laker pre- and post-game show?
Oh.
We can't do
that. Yeah, we're going to have to do it on a night when the Lakers are not playing. Are they playing back-to-backs?
Nope.
So even though they're in the same place, they're not playing back-to-backs.
Right, every other night, basically. They start on the 29th and play every other night.
So there will always be a night off, Sliwa.
I thought they had one, but we're not going to do it until September, right? So we'll be in the middle of the playoffs.
And there won't be back-to-back games in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. By the way, I got the Sportsnet LA channel on. They're about to dip into the intra-squad game at Dodger Stadium. They're showing an old one now, but they are doing an intra-squad game tonight. I haven't seen who's going to pitch. I watched the other night their first intra-squad game on Sportsnet, and first thing right out of the box, Clayton Kershaw struck out Mookie Betts. Hmm. But I'm excited to watch a little baseball
tonight. Oh, man.
What?
The track coach at MiraCosta, my friend Kelvin, just texted me. Sorry, John, it's the torso, not the foot.
See?
How would they? I don't think Kelvin's
see?
Right.
See?
My foot crosses
thank
the
you,
line.
Thank you, track coach guy. Thank you.
Kelvin, that's ridiculous. Right,
way to go, Kelvin.
Hey, we have
so
one.
Marcellus,
wait a minute. We have 1 minute left, Mace. What is the results of the poll? I know that the people of Southern California vindicated me and said that Eyes Wide Shut is a friggin' disaster because I watched it last night and it is. What is the results of the poll and how many people voted?
Okay. The number of people that voted is 325.
Okay. That's a very good sample size. Mm-hmm.
32% say a classic, so it's got a 32% approval rating. 68% say it's a disaster.
That's what I'm talking about. People don't want to see Tom Cruise horny for three hours talking to people in masks. Come on. The only thing missing is him jumping on a couch.
I love that you walked out in the middle with your wife. You're like, I'm good. You can watch
That's it. I'm out of this room. I'm leaving this room now.
This room sucks. I'm going to go watch basketball replays.
But when the Dodgers play, Sliwa, what you're going to look for tonight?
Say that again?
What are you going to look for when you see the Dodgers play tonight?
Or 6:30 tonight, man. I can't do it. Me and Kirk, by the way. So Kirk and I will we'll talk some baseball. I'm actually curious. You guys hear those Mookie Betts comments yesterday on not regretting that $300 million-plus contract from the Red Sox? I think that's an interesting conversation to have, especially under this climate.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, cool. So you got that coming up.
Hey, look what time it is.
We'll see you guys.
Yeah, 6:24. We hit the door. Back tomorrow, 2:55. Sliwa was next with Kirk Morrison. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.